صوت أهل السنة والجماعة، صوت مركز الصحابة.
سارا عالم تري ادب تيرا شيخ الاسلام ہے لقب تیرا ساری دنیا میں جگمگاتا ہے اسم خورشید اسم اب تیرا کیوں مفسر تجھے بناتا بھی گر نہ کرتا پسند رب تیرا تو ہے فخر عجم بہر صورت مانے لوہا نہ کیوں عرب تیرا سارا عالم تیرے ادب تیرا شیخ الاسلام ہے لقب تیرا ساری دنیا میں جگمگاتا ہے اسم خورشید اسم اب تیرا علم فقہ ہو معاشیات کے ساتھ قابل رشک ہے ادب تیرا کر دیا سود کا زیاں.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم and welcome to a beautiful Monday edition of the midday show with myself, Brother Suleiman Isub, every Monday to Thursday between 12 and 12:45. Today being the 2nd of Jumad al-Ula 1446, corresponding to the 4th of November 2024. Alhamdulillah, we have now four more months until the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Have we prepared? Have we started preparing for Ramadan? Mulana, I know it's you're still busy now. It's still very early for you, but inshallah, at 12:30, we can start today's discussion. Now, I know you are doing janazah and everything, right? But what we can do, how to prepare oneself for Ramadan. Because now we've got about 4 months left for the Mubarak month of Ramadan.
But we discussed it previously.
We did. No, but then maybe we can give a recap to the listeners. Because we never did it on my show, you see.
We did it on your show.
You know.
Yeah.
Or we did it previously, but that was like just like a brief this thing. Now that we know that, you know what, inshallah, there's 4 months to the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Now we can give them like energy-packed 15, 20 minutes. And inshallah. You know, boosting on a Monday. Very good to do something on a Monday also. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born on a Monday. Passed away on a Monday. Mubarak things happen on a Monday. So to enlighten the listeners and remind them, a reminder is beneficial for a mu'min. So inshallah, Mawlana, half-past 12, we will be discussing
inshallah.
To boost one's iman for the month of Ramadan, inshallah. Jazakallah khair, Mawlana. And there you have it. That was Mawlana Zaid Khan. And then, inshallah, we're going to be discussing how to boost one's iman for the month of Ramadan. But anyway, nonetheless, it's 15 minutes past 12 Central African time. You can send in your messages on 084-786-3132. International and overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Our first recipe is for a Sri Lankan style potato curry. Sri Lankan style potato curry. And this was sent in by Sister Maryam Muhammad, and credit to Baker's Bite recipe. Baker's Bite recipe, say Jazakallah Khairan. So you're going to need 2 kilo potatoes, not sure how many, but 2 kilo potatoes. 2 kilo potatoes. 5 500 gram onion, 500 gram onion, 200 gram tomato, 200 gram tomato. You're going to need some curry leaves. You're going to need some curry leaves. 5 green chilies. 5 green chilies. You're going to need 1 teaspoon of chili powder. 1 teaspoon chili powder. 1 tablespoon of chili flakes. 1 tablespoon of chili flakes. 1 tablespoon of Shan chicken masala. 1 tablespoon of Shan chicken masala. 1/2 a teaspoon of turmeric. Half a teaspoon of turmeric. And you're going to need some salt. Then you're going to cut the, you're going to cut them in half and wash them. That is the potatoes. Then you're going to cut them in half and wash them. Then you're going to add them back into the pot. You're going to add them to a pot with water, salt and turmeric powder. Add them to a pot with water, salt and turmeric powder. Then you're going to close the pot and let the potatoes cook until they are soft. Once the potatoes are cooked, let them cool down. Once the potatoes are cooked, you can let them cool down. Peel them and set them aside. Once the potatoes are cooked, let them cool down. Peel them and set them aside. In a large pan, add some oil. Once the potatoes are cooked, let them cool down. Peel them and set them aside. In a large pan, add some oil. Once the oil is hot, then you can add in the mustard seeds and onions. Add in mustard seeds and onions. And saute them until the onion is translucent. Then add in the curry leaves and ginger garlic paste. And mix them until the raw smell of the ginger garlic is gone. Next, you're going to add in the green chilies and tomatoes. And cook them until the tomatoes are mushy. Then you're going to add in the following spices. You're going to add in the chili powder. The chili flakes. The turmeric powder. The chicken masala. And salt. Then you're going to mix everything well for a few seconds. Then you're going to add in the cooked and peeled potatoes. You're going to add in the cooked and peeled potatoes. Then you're going to mix them until all the masala has coated all the potatoes. Then you're going to mix them all until the masala has coated all the potatoes. And that's it. And that's how you make a potato curry. Say Jazakallah Khairan to Sister Maryam Muhammad for sending in a Sri Lankan style potato curry. If you have or you know of any other ways of making a potato curry, then maybe you can send it through, or you can send it through on 084-786-3132. International and overseas listeners, plus 27-84-786-3132. Our next recipe, I'm just waiting for the recipes to come through, inshallah. Then you're going to have, our next recipe is, was sent in by Sister Fatima. By Sister Fatima. And this is for cheesy potato balls. Cheesy potato balls. So you're going to need two potatoes, boiled and mashed. Two potatoes boiled and mashed. Salt and pepper to taste. Salt and pepper to taste. 2 tablespoons of maizena. 2 tablespoons of maizena. 2 tablespoons of maizena. 1 teaspoon of paprika. 1 teaspoon of paprika, few splashes of lemon juice, few splashes of lemon juice. If you want, you can use dhania. You can use dhania if you want. And 1 cup of cheese of your choice. 1 cup of cheese of your choice. Then you're going to mix everything together. Mix everything together. You're going to roll into a ball. Roll everything into balls. Roll everything into balls. And deep fry in hot oil until golden brown. And that was a quick, a very quick recipe for cheesy potato balls. Right. Our next recipe that comes in is for coconut lagan. For coconut lagan. Say Jazakallah Khairan to Sister Fatima Suleiman for sending in the recipe. So you're going to need 1/2 cup of a tasty wheat. 1/2 cup of tasty wheat. 1 1/2 cup of desiccated coconut. 1 1/2 cup of desiccated coconut. 1 teaspoon of baking powder. 1 teaspoon of baking powder. You're going to need 3 eggs. You're going to need 3 eggs. 1/2 cup of ghee. 1/2 cup of ghee. Then you're going to need 3 cups of milk. 3 cups of milk. You're going to need ilachi and almonds to taste. You're going to need ilachi and almonds to taste. 1 tin of Nestle cream. 1 tin of Nestle cream. Then you're going to mix together the milk. You're going to mix the milk, the coconut, the sugar, and the eggs. You're going to mix the coconut, the milk, the sugar, and the eggs. Then you're going to refrigerate it overnight. Refrigerate it overnight. Then you're going to braise the wheat in ghee. You're going to braise the wheat in ghee until it's lightly browned. Until lightly browned. Pour in the egg mixture. Pour in the egg mixture and cook until it's thick. Pour in the egg mixture and cook until it's thick. When it's cooled down, add in the Nestle cream and the baking powder. When it's cooled down, add in the Nestle cream and the baking powder. Pour into a greased baking pan. Pour into a greased baking pan. And you can decorate it with almonds. And you can decorate it with almonds. Bake at 400 degrees. Bake at 400 degrees Celsius for 35 minutes. And that was the recipe for coconut lagan. And we say Jazakallah Khairan to Sister Fatima Suleiman for sending in that message. It's just gone 12:30 Central African time. Inshallah, we're going to go for a small break. And when we return, we will continue with our segment. And that is the Nasiha segment. And like we said earlier, we're going to be discussing how one can boost the iman with regards to the approachment or the upcoming months of Ramadan. You know, there's very important months before the month of Ramadan. There's four months that is sacred in the Islamic calendar and prior to Ramadan. So inshallah, we're going to be discussing that inshallah.
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.
کیوں مفسر تجھے بناتا پھر گر نہ کرتا پسند رب تیرا تو ہے فخر عجم بہر صورت مانے لوہا نہ کیوں عرب تیرا سارا عالم ترے ادب تیرا شیخ الاسلام ہے لقب تیرا ساری دنیا میں جگمگاتا ہے اسم خورشید اسم اب تیرا
25 minutes to 1 Central African time. It's a beautiful, beautiful Friday. It's a beautiful Monday afternoon. Hot, hot weather. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us hot weather. You know, there's various du'as to read for different occasions. On a hot day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you know, or not. There's du'as that one should read to be protected from the fire of Jahannam. Because this is like a .000 amount of what the fire of Jahannam will be like. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why after Fajr and after Maghrib, one should read the dua 7 times. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. O Allah, protect me from the fire of Jahannam, from the fire of hell. And on a cold day, you know, there's parts in Jahannam, narrations where there's part of Jahannam that is cold, ice cold. And there's parts of Jahannam that is hot, burning hot. So we make dua in the during the winter, during the summer. We make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all his calamities. Ameen, ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. But now, back to our topic of discussion. 120 days, 4 months, until the Mubarak month of Ramadan. You know, we're now in Jumad al-Ula. Mufti Sahib always emphasizes the correct pronunciation of the word Jumad al-Ula and Jumad al-Akhir. Then we have Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan. And when we come to the 29th or 30th of Jumad al-Akhir, we read the Masnoon Dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. That, you know, on the 15th of Sha'ban, the people's books are closed. You know, there's people, there's our family members, people that we know that were here with us last week. And today, this week, they now have returned to the mercy of Almighty Allah. How many people we hear on a daily basis? You know, just the other day I was listening to somebody. They were giving a talk. And he says that this person had been reading. Allah Ta'ala gave him the opportunity to read Salah in his qabr because he was a very pious awliya. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala gave him the opportunity to perform his Salah. But he said that amal is not valid. In making sujood, everything is Salah, but the one Subhanallah that the person who is living, he said, exchange with me. I've been making sajda, reading salat for the past 600 years. But the one Subhanallah that you are alive are reading, exchange it to me for the 600 salat I've been reading in the qabr. So that's how important it is to change and mend our lives. You know, because life is short, we don't know whether we'll see next Ramadan. We're not guaranteed that we're going to see Ramadan or this Ramadan. But we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the opportunity to see the Mubarak month. Allah Ta'ala keep us safe to see the beautiful month of Ramadan. And with that being said, Mawlana Khan, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Has anybody addressed you as Mawlana Khan? Mawlana Khan.
No.
He's always Mawlana Zaid. He's never Mawlana Khan. Like, you know, Mawlana Shabir Saluji, Mawlana... Like, there's a different Mawlana, we say it with their first name. But he's never like a person, Mawlana Khan. Got a ring to it, huh? I'll start calling Mawlana Khan from today.
You can call me Khan.
Khan from the Epic Lotus.
Our one ustad used to, when I started off in Darul Zakaria, then he asked me what's my name. So I said, Zaid Khan. It's Khan.
Khan.
So he said, he was teasing me in front of the class and he said, Ye Khan he, like he's pointing at his ears, because Khan means ears.
Okay.
So he said, say Khan. Now in Urdu, some letters, you don't say with tajweed. If you say it with tajweed, then people
it changes the meaning.
No, people won't understand what you're saying. So, but some letters, you say it with tajweed. So,
isn't it a term is makhraj, no?
Makhraj in Arabic,
too. Yeah.
So, but in Urdu, some words, you get confused now, tongue twisted, because some in Urdu you say without the makhraj. So anyway, we're not suitable or candidate enough to be termed or called a mulana. That's for our pious and those who are deserving of that term. We are students. I told my students the other day that we have the L sign behind us, like yeah. You see the car. So constantly, you must put the L on your kurta. We learn us till we die.
Yeah.
So, gee, you've insisted on this topic of the Ramadan.
As Mufti Sahib will say, from the womb to the tomb. From the cradle to the grave. Always learning.
So,
yeah, no, but it's nice, Mulana, that you know what, we, because now you see, you know what, 4 months, nice. Still time. But come that week before, and then everyone will say, you know what, first Rosa, it was so hot, and right in the middle of the summer, and I can't handle it, and this and that. That's why we rather practice from now, because I think there's a hadith that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kept fast through the whole month of Rajab, correct? Rajab or Shaban?
The month before. So,
Rajab, Shaban.
Rajab and
Shaban. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the only person allowed.
Not the only person. In Shaban, if you don't have the habit of keeping fast, then you shouldn't keep fast in Shaban, because then your energy levels for Ramadan is not going to be all there. So, keeping that in mind.
Oh,
okay. So, you don't want to burn out before time.
I got L sign.
So, yeah, that's the mindset we should have, inshallah. So, about Ramadan, and we were busy with the topic of our
janazah.
So, how we tie it in is, how do you prepare for Ramadan? So, you prepare for Ramadan by thinking of death. Because what is Ramadan for? It is to bring you that to that point where you are totally happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're engaging in worship, obedience. And if you say you want to start from now, then you will start by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what drives you to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by thinking of death. That's why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsah. An intelligent person is one who constantly is checking himself. Did I do this correctly? Was my words correct here? This. So you're constantly keeping a track of what you said, what you did, and all of these actions. For us, where do we have time to even do a report back of our day, what we did, where we went, what we said? Whereas the pious, they would come back home and put onto paper every single thing they've said. Was this appropriate? Should I have stayed away from this? Like this, they would contemplate. So, al-kayyisu man dana nafsah. An intelligent person is one who constantly is checking himself. Wa'amila lima ba'd al-maut. And he is preparing for the life that is to come after death. So, Haji Suleiman, you've mentioned about a person performing salah. And there was this, it doesn't come in hadith or something, but there was this person. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He opens to certain servants, and it's not ilmul ghaib, it's not ilm, knowledge of the unseen. But it's a feeling. Once I asked our honorable teacher, same teacher, Hazrat Mawlana Uthman, Damat Barakatuhu, and he studied under Hazrat Mawlana Musiullah Rahmatullah Alayh. So I said, I asked, how does kashf work? You know, we always hear about kashf. So he said, this is such a thing that you can't explain. You have to experience it to witness it. Try to explain to a person who's not married the first night or that kind of ibadat. You can't. You'll tell the person, you experience it, then you'll know it. So this was the answer he gave to me. And kashf doesn't mean ilmul ghaib, knowledge of the unseen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a thought or a feeling, overpowering feeling in a person's heart, or sometimes he can actually visually see it, and it's for that moment. So this kind of kashf was opened up to one pious person, where he witnessed what was inside the inmate of the qabr. And he then gave the pious person, mukalama. Mukalama means he could speak, conversate with a person, with the dead person. This was exclusively for that moment. And otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even addresses Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say in the Quran Sharif that you cannot hear the people, those who have passed away. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided for moments to open up what happened, what the person is saying, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in full power, full control. So this is with regards to our aqidah. So this person was in the qabr, and he was reading Quran Sharif. So the pious person walked past and said, MashaAllah, you reciting the Quran Sharif, SubhanAllah. So he said, you know what, since I've passed away till now, if you take it from then till now, I finished approximately 60 khatams. So the pious person was amazed and he said, SubhanAllah, 60 khatams. He said, but let me tell you something else. And this is, it draws the same lesson of what you were saying, Haji Suleiman, that you see that 60 khatams, it didn't count in terms of rewards on the scales. I can go on from the time I passed away till Qiyamah with this very same schedule, reading Quran Sharif the entire day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor upon me. I love to read Quran Sharif in the world, and I ask Allah to make it possible for me to read in the Qabr. But if you're saying in terms of benefit, you standing there, you say subhanallah once, and the rewards is on your name. You recite Quran Sharif, the rewards is on your name. You've got breath in you. And we always address our listeners. If you're listening to this now, you've got breath. I mean, you've got breath. You're breathing. You're living. So you have that ability, that tawfiq comes from Allah. But the intention you have there, I want to change my life. I don't know when I'm going to pass away. I don't know what's going to happen in the next few minutes. Yesterday we went to a mayat house. They said the auntie was perfectly fine, absolutely normal. And all of a sudden, she was standing in the park and she had a little bit of high blood pressure, and it shot up to a certain level and it caused certain disturbances in her body, in her brain. And all of a sudden, she was rushed to hospital. And 2 weeks thereafter, she passed away. So that preparations for death, that preparations for that meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pious people, we said to you previously, when Ramadan would end, already now they're preparing for the next Ramadan, to see how we can put our lives into, we put it in this trial mode. You set the timetable. Of course, in the month of Ramadan, which is the month of Barakah, you get that time, that beautiful, you're doing so much more, and you just cannot understand. This is الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, belief in the unseen. And this kind of belief, you'll notice when you come out of Ramadan, what happens? Day of Eid, Haji Suleiman, you can testify to this. The food is there, but you're feeling doubtful, must I eat or not? Because you are so well trained for that 29 to 30 days.
It feels weird, because even in the morning, after, you know, when you come back from Salah, from Eid Salah, and you come home and you see the samosas are laid out, you got your cup of tea, and I say, it feels like so haram. You want to have that samosa, but you know, because you've been well trained, your body adapted for the 29 days, like Mulana said, it feels weird for a couple of days.
And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may adopt taqwa. And see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it. Like how it's been prescribed. Fasting has been prescribed upon you just the way it was prescribed upon those who came before you. So just that thought that, you know, you're the first nation to do it becomes difficult. But so many others did it before you, it says it gives you that comfort. You face difficulty in a particular situation. you're going through a certain trial, a certain sickness. Someone tells you, but you know, that person, they also went through it. They also faced this difficulty. And look how they came out of it. So that's giving hope to the next person. And that gives that spirit again, positivity again. And to tie it in with, when we're going to visit sick people as well, we should use these words of hope. Now what do we say? You know, that person died from the sickness. That person was killed. This person, especially doctors, they should learn the art of giving news to their patients. Some have it, some don't have it. Those who have it, they are able to convey the news in a manner that the patient is able to accept it. Others don't. They will just give it to you blatantly, straight how it is. And then you are, more than your sickness, psychologically you are broken, and that affects you more. So this build up, as we say, and we must clarify, like we clarified previously, that this, you will see messages. If you send this message to so-and-so people, then you will get so many rewards. And there's absolutely nothing like that. That's fabricating and that's haram. And that is a major sin. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you do that, you should prepare your abode in Jahannam. So you want to prepare, you're excited, but put everything in its place. Keep everything in its place. And as you're keeping things in your in its place, like this, you can move forward with a clear direction. Preparing for Ramadan, start now. Open up the Quran Sharif. When last have we opened up the Quran Sharif? Learn a verse. Read a verse. Brother Suleiman, yesterday I met one of my friends. I said it in the morning program. I'll say it now as well. One of my old friends, I didn't see him in how many years. So I saw him and he looks exactly the same. So I was speaking to him and I said, your father, I used to see your father more than I used to see you in the past few years. When I go to the masjid, his father passed away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him Jannah. So his father got shot, I don't know how many times. He had sickness upon sickness. And as I said this, he said to me, you know what? My father, from the age of 10 till he passed away, never missed a single salah. Yes, there were those moments he was unconscious, all of that. But whether he was sick or not, he pushed himself. He had to sit on the chair, but he went to the masjid and I used to see it. How does he cope and manage? He had a stroke. So all of this he went through. Then he said to me, he never missed a day of Quran Sharif from the age of 10. Then he said, more interestingly, let me say something else to you. When he passed away, you know, the other day, one listener said that we don't mention about others and we only speak about those who are famous. It's not that. Who you do good, we'll mention it to you if it comes to our knowledge and it's appropriate for that particular subject. So yeah, ordinary person, not the alim, not... He said when he passed away, the Mawlana came to him and said to my friend, he said, you know your father, he enrolled in our madrasa and he was doing hifs every day. How many Jews he finished? 16 Jews. And you're over 50, 60, I don't know how old was he. But 16 Jews he finished. So this is what we're saying to you. You're never too old. And if you're speaking of youth, you've got the time, you've got the energy. Now give it in the right avenue. And like this already, you're preparing for Ramadan. Make sure that you get your routine, set your routine in place. Try and see where you can adjust your times and how you do that. Start now, read Quran Sharif, read a page, read a verse, read how much you can manage, but start it and stay away from sin. That is your... Because what happens in Ramadan? Some people say, but shaitan is locked up and I'm still doing sin. Because you've become so routine to doing sin. So start that weaning off process from now. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Jazakallah khairan, Mulana, for those pertinent advices. Yes, it's important that from now one should start slowly. It's like, Mulana, you know when you have a bad habit, you know, like giving up cigarettes, everyone say, you know what, Ramadan, I'm going to give up. One, at least let's make it one bad habit that we constantly do. Be it, we are all insan, we all have this jealousy, hatred, malice, you know. We're insan, it happens naturally. But you make dua, that Allah Ta'ala give me a heart, qalb-e salim, a heart of peace, a heart of contentment, a heart of shukr, a heart of gratitude. So we make it intention that one bad habit we try to eradicate from our life. And we stick to it, inshallah.
To quit smoking, one person told me this. He said he tried everything. But these two things, he said, you know, when you smoke, there's two things you do. One is you're taking something to your mouth. And the other is you're breathing in. So he said, these two things psychologically, if you can find a substitute, take nuts. Every time you're craving, you take nuts, you put it to your mouth. And you take a deep breath after you chew it or after. So these two things is what gives you that comfort in smoking. So to quit smoking, you take a you don't take a cigarette, you take nuts or something that you like that's purely halal and healthy, and you bring it to your mouth, you chew it, and another time you breathe in, breathe out. Inshallah, you make your intention, this is to give it up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the tawfiq, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakallah khairan, Mawlana, for that. And inshallah, we will catch you tomorrow at the same time, at the same place. Bi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.